You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Just now struck me. It's like L.A., L.A.
If you
like,
break out into song, I will fucking kill you.
No, no, don't worry. But it just struck me, La La Land.
Really?
LA,
you're just
LA
getting
land.
That?
It just occurred to me just now.
Have you never heard, like, I mean, that's yeah. What people call L.A.?
Sure, but not okay. In the sense that there's a pun.
There's La La? Oh, yes, because people say La La when they're singing. Yeah, Christmas carols.
Sometimes. Did anyone actually say "la la" in this movie?
No, they didn't.
No, they did say "soul" and "me" and I think "fae."
Probably "love." A few times. A
couple times.
Julie Andrews just jumped on the screen and started singing about things she likes.
Well, once again, like Damien Chazelle's last movie, this film is totally my tempo.
I see what you did there.
Really? I'm not hearing that. Could you do that again?
Well, it's totally my tempo.
Could you do that again?
But it's no, my tempo.
God fucking damn it, do it again.
Somebody throw a fucking shoe at him.
Yes, he did Whiplash, which was one of the, like, came out of nowhere.
That was such a great film. I love it.
The Dark Horse of last year.
And once again, he's got a film about somebody who's just... has a very strong feelings about their art form.
About some fucking musician.
Yeah. Who's gonna make it work somehow.
It's like, we get it. You like jazz.
You get a mission?
In this case, it's Ryan Gosling, who is playing Sebastian Wilder, who is living in modern-day L.A. He wants to be he is a jazz musician, but he wants to ultimately just open up his own jazz club, because he feels like the classic jazz club has gone the way of the doctor.
But he got this role because he's a former Mouseketeer, and he's one of the only five guys in Hollywood that could actually still fucking tap dance.
It's probably true.
Actually, I read online that he passed up being in the Backstreet Boys, and then he changed his mind at the last minute, and they were like, too late, bud.
I believe it.
And this was,
well, look where that got him.
This was originally being, as Frank reminded me, Miles Teller was originally up for this role, which isn't surprising considering we already know he can dance. He was in the Footloose.
Yes, that's true.
So.
No. And it's not surprising that he's in this because he's kind of an asshole.
Miles Teller?
He didn't do it for creative reasons, I say, with quotation marks in the air.
He wanted to box with headgear.
A.K.A. he couldn't sing.
Apparently he managed to get J.K. Simmons to show up for at least one day of shooting, but Miles couldn't be arsed to kiss Emma Stone.
He was busy with Fantastic Four.
J.K. Simmons was like, Damien Chazelle's like, dude, you owe me.
Gave you a fucking Oscar.
Yes, he had been laboring in obscurity doing, like, what, five or six character roles
a year?
He'd
been doing Diablo Cody movies from the dad. The
Well, he should be J. Jonah Jameson for life, let's face it.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
True.
But he's not really a big part in this movie.
Have you seen that guy without a shirt? He could be the Hulk, too.
True. The other big name in this movie is Emma Stone, who plays Mia Dolan, who is a aspiring actress who has had considerably less luck performing her craft than Ryan Gosling has, or at the very least manages to get gigs. However,
he had a club and lost it because he went in halfsies with an unscrupulous person.
Yes,
go figure. An unscrupulous person in the bar.
And he's somebody who wants to, like, Ryan Gosling wants to be famous, but on his own specific terms.
Yes, he has very specific terms of the type of jazz he wants to play. Emma Stone just wants to be an actress. Period. She's trying out for whatever. They meet each other in the very opposite of a meet cute, really, where
that's kind of the joke of the first half of the thing is that. All of the opportunities that, you know, if this movie were set in the 90s, people would gasp and sigh, and the music would swell, and they would get together. And this, he's like elbowing her out of the way and honking his horn at her. She's flipping him off. Like, it's one like who is this fucking asshole after another.
To be fair, in LA in traffic, flicking someone off and saying fuck you is code for I love you.
It's like that sign in LA Story. Now it's just a big glowing finger.
That's why they call it Holly Weird.
Indeed. But they eventually, of course, do in fact hit it off, and the film turns into, well, it starts from, but kind of feels like it for the first third, maybe even half of it, at points like in a very old school Hollywood musical, in the way that we see sort of like, well, as their heads are in their clouds and they're living this sort of fantasy. Of
it kind of starts out like, wait, it starts out with a big musical number and it kind of lets you know what it's going in, you're getting into, and then it kind of, there's kind of an uneven shift. It's like, you're like, okay, am I watching this, you know, very typical romance, to be honest, very elegant musical numbers, kind of spliced in. As you kind of get through the non-meet cute to the meet cute to the, hey, we should do a montage right now because we're falling in love. And then we kind of start to get some stakes raised.
Well, that's what's interesting is that as the film goes along and as like reality starts, you know, of real life, people's lives starts coming in and interfering with this Hollywood romance, the movie itself changes its tone of the way the musical numbers are.
Sure.
It becomes less big old Hollywood and more sort of acid jazz.
There's definitely, it certainly becomes sparser, and the palette, which starts out very, very broad and primary, becomes more black and white and gray. Yeah, and these are purposeful and very well done touches. I'll give them that.
And I don't even think it's supposed to be, you know, in case anybody thinks of that as being the movie's trying to say, oh, look how depressing things are getting. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think the film is kind of about that whole, like, it's healthy to be, you have one foot in both.
I think
your head can be in the clouds, but not so much that your feet aren't rooted on the earth.
This movie really, I think it struggles with itself a little bit too much because it wants to do those lavish numbers, and yet it still wants to be serious about the relationship it's portraying. And you know, it in a way it can be a little bit metaphorical for when you meet that like really incredible person and you have these like, you know, oh my God, this is the most incredible thing. I'm starting the adventure of a lifetime. And then you go into like, you know, hey, we're moving in together and you forgot to do the dishes.
Yeah.
It does do that, but I sometimes feel it struggles a little bit too much with that.
The film's almost setting up kind of like a romantic triangle between the two leads and then their respected crafts or their dreams. Absolutely. Out in LA, where it's constantly, do I do this thing I love or do I try to be with the person I love? And yeah, I think as the story goes on, it shows how realistic that can be in a very
pretty setting.
Yeah. Sad story in a pretty setting. Yeah.
There's a lot of love letters to the actual city of LA.
And I think LA has never looked more beautiful than it does in this.
Yeah.
It was a nice change of pace from a lot of other films I've seen this year that were clearly saying LA and it fucked up over there, like a Neon Demon or
Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah.
Knight of Cups. I don't know if they did that.
But nobody saw Knight of Cups.
I like Knight of Cups.
I saw the trailer.
So you're the guy.
I'm the one that liked
Knight
of Cups.
You and Terrence Malick saw Knight of Cups, and he directed it.
I voted for Knight of Cups, I'll have you know.
You know, most of the homages to L.A. contend along the Charles Bukowski, Tom Waitsy line, and this is more like, hey, remember old Hollywood? James Dean used to live here. Yay!
But I felt so detached from the old Hollywood like numbers. Like the first one just washed over me. I liked it, you know, you're saying, you know, part of this movie wants to be happy and frothy, another half wants to be serious and realistic. I embrace the latter part more.
Really?
Yes, I really.
Okay.
Because I really enjoyed that because it's a sad story in a pretty setting, and I thought it was told very well. It reminded me a lot of the Fabulous Baker Boys in terms of like, you know, the sort of like clinging on to dreams that just aren't happening.
Sure.
And you know, relying on the person next to you.
And I think there's like the absolute biggest struggle in this movie is the writer not wanting this love story to appear too pat, which is really hard because he's taking a story that we've heard a lot.
Yeah, but although admittedly taking it in a way that like a lesser film would have made a lot of more obvious decisions.
Absolutely.
Here. And I think that the most fascinating thing about this movie to me is how much it really is actually grounded in reality for something that starts. So, you know,
the dinner scene when he surprised her, that is such a well-written scene of the two of them and those people in that world and that situation and the problems that they are facing. You know, I loved it. I think if the movie had been like that, you know, gorgeously lit.
Well, the thing I don't know. I tend to go the other direction because when I saw that scene, I was like, well, it's interesting watching these two actors who know their craft well doing this scene, but I have seen this scene a lot.
Sure.
There was not anything new for me there, and
the setup, you know, or the, because certainly not the dialogue. I thought the dialogue was great.
I mean, nothing really kind of leapt out at me as like, you know, this now I'm seeing something. I'm seeing a new and different take on this.
For me, that was what
I was waiting for. I wanted them to start breaking out into a duet.
I'm gonna be the guy in the middle who liked.
I would have rolled my eyes again if they did another duet.
I'm the guy who likes both. I love that old school musical feel. I thought they're very well executed here. Some of them raised the hair on the back of my neck.
Oh yeah,
I thought
absolutely.
They were so well done. But I also love it the way that it's translating into a very different type of movie, and doing that so well as well. That balance is why it works. If they were like, well, why are they two different movies, like two such a different feel, and there's no good reason, I would have been like, okay, that's one thing, but it makes perfect sense why it is. It all, everything that's happening musically completely balances what's happening in the story and the decisions that they're making. Even to the point that by the end of this, which is not even really so much sad, but just bittersweet in a nostalgic sort of way.
Yes.
Like, is profoundly affecting because you're rooting for these kids. But at the same time,
it's kind of a J.J. Abrams ending. It's like, well, no, show me the other thing that could have happened.
No, they've been the dead ending. The whole time.
I think the ultimate ending worked the way it was meant to work. I think they did right by the character.
I thought that was somewhat fresh, and I kind of wish they had worked on it a little bit more because I think, you know, not all of us. Some of us get it right the first time, but many of us have had that, you know, special relationship that, you know, you run into 5 years later, and you're like, whoa, wow, that was what a trip that was. And I thought it was. It's not something that's done very often, and I thought that was cool. And I liked the device, the framing device that they used. I wish they had done a little bit more of that when it came to the relationship because, I don't know. For me, I wasn't seeing a lot of new ground. I wish they had trusted their device a little bit more.
We'll keep going into your final thoughts.
It's for me. It was a very uneven film. There's stuff that's just, you know, visually it's a pleasure. You know, hell, you're staring at Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling for most of it, and that never hurts. But the musical productions when they go full out lavish are just I love them. They really. You know, I think a lot of people who see the trailer for this might think they're getting something like Moulin Rouge, and you're not at all. You're getting very much old Hollywood. And I wish they had kind of committed a little bit more to that idea of this being, you know, a millennial version of, say, Singing in the Rain or American in Paris, which they both do, you know, very solid shout-outs to both of those flicks. That being said, it was a little too same old for me with the love story, and I like I said, I wish they had kind of relied on their device a little bit more. But that being said, I did have a good time at this. I don't consider it to be a waste of time at the theater. I just think it's a flawed gem at best. So I will give it, on that note, 7.5 keytars out of 10.
Kyle?
No, this is a good film. This is definitely going to be considered many times over come award time. And for me personally, just that main theme of the film is going to be stuck in my head for God knows how long.
What theme is that? I can't remember a single song I heard in this movie.
I'm gonna be showing my ignorance here, but is this a jukebox musical or are all the songs originals in this?
No, all the songs are original.
They're all original. Okay. Yeah.
Except for Iran.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, except for a few 80s songs.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish, I will say, I kind of wish they had dubbed in someone else because, you know, God bless them, and I respect them for trying, but Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone do not have the most powerful voices.
I think she's better than he is.
I like Emma Stone singing. Ryan Gosling certainly took a bit of getting used to.
He did he gave it the Marlon Brando in Guys and Dolls college try, and good for him.
But he's not Pierce Brosnan and Mamma Mia.
But it's just like, man, they got somebody to dub over Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady, and there's a reason for that.
But the thing is, he's not a bad singer. He's just not a musicals singer.
Yeah, and it was kind of jarring because, like, you know, once I said, when you see American in Paris and Gene Kelly starts singing, you're like, God damn, that guy has pipes. Yeah. And it kind of diminished.
Whereas on the other hand, I thought Emma Stone didn't have anywhere near the amount of dancing ability Ryan Gosling did.
Like I said, Mouseketeer training.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, with that said, though, I like the choreography on that, though. It worked for me.
Yeah.
No, just to sum up my thoughts, fellas, if your lady wants to go see this, this is an easy one for you. Like, you're going to have a good time. You're going to enjoy it. And you may enjoy it more than you think. It's no Moulin Rouge. I'm glad you
said
that.
Thank God for that.
That's definitely one of those films.
Shut your whore mouth.
I was going to say it if he did.
Moulin Rouge is brilliant.
It's got a reputation for that's a movie that girlfriends drag their boyfriends to. This is going to get that same reputation, but I think this is a much better film. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 jazz cameos at the end. Nobody else got that?
Yes.
I'm going to have to discuss. Oh, you caught it?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were legendary.
Mike?
I love the hell out of this thing. I didn't really know what I was expecting. I just knew that from the trailer. I knew the cinematography looked gorgeous, and goddamn it is. Like, there's so many shots where my mouth is agape. Like, and big dopey grin on my face with a lot of the cinematography in this. The story isn't anything new, but I like how they, it's not a terrible story. It definitely took me back to, like, a lot of the films that I would watch when I was a kid on AMC with my father. And also, it just, the way it romanticizes Los Angeles, finally a film that makes me excited for the next time that I go there. Because, goddamn, the last few movies I saw set there. But no, I think this is one of the best films of the year. I enjoyed the hell out of this immensely. And I'd say I'd give it a 9 out of 10. I didn't even think about a rating scale on this. 9 out of 10 auditions.
Right.
For me, I agree this is a familiar story, but this is a story that these kids face every time they go to Los Angeles, and they have faced for, you know, decades and decades. You know, these are the pitfalls. These are the, you know, choices they have to make. But I like those scenes. And I like that it was still, you know, it was a well-written, you know, spin on a
love
whole
story.
Love is
very fun, too.
But then I like Damien Chazelle's work. I loved Grand Piano, which he wrote, didn't direct. I would love to have seen him direct it. I loved Whiplash. It was my favorite film of last year. And I love this. I did not love the musical numbers. I felt in this day and age it just come across as ironic, and I just didn't. And I love old school 40s musicals, you know, but the same way I loved, you know, silent films, but I didn't love The Artists when that came out a few years ago. But I think it should have been, like I said before, a sad story in a pretty place. That being said, I think the one thing that really redeems all the whole musical 1940s fantasy is the fact that the ending is the way it is, and it's realistic, and it's, you know, makes sense, and it does right by the characters. The performances are great. I love that this is Ryan Gosling's most normal character that I can recall to date. What's that crazy stupid love? Not counting that, because that was
Drive.
totally normal there. Yeah,
that's like most of my friends, pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we don't talk very much,
but he still brought like some heft to the character as well. I think this is a really pleasant experience, and it's very, you know, it makes LA look gorgeous, and it's like having dessert for 2 hours in a way. I'll probably give this 8 out of 10. Cappuccinos that movie stars still insist on paying for, even though they've gotten them for free.
I gotta say, I can't disagree with you more about the songs being ironic. I think there wasn't a trace of irony about the way they were treating the Hollywood musicals.
No, I'm just like the, you know, it's the attempt and like the...
I don't feel that at all. I feel exactly the opposite. I felt like it was extremely heartfelt. The only ironic thing in this movie is when you see him playing a guitar in an 80s cover band to make... And that was ironic on its face. It wasn't like the movie being ironic. Right there. It was like the very nature of doing that. It's like, look how terrible this is. Isn't it funny?
But you know, I would have been the guy, being someone who is an unabashed fan of 80s pop music, I would just been sitting there like, I would have been sincerely dancing to that the entire party.
So how do you not like Moulin Rouge? I loved all the musical numbers in here, every last one of them. I actually really altogether thought this was damn good, pretty near great, one of the best of the year. My only real problem is I think that as gorgeous as Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling both are, and they are, they're just stunning just to look at do anything, and as much chemistry as they had together on screen, and as good as their performances are, neither one of them is ideally suited for a musical dancing and singing film.
They're not triple threats at all.
No, they decidedly are not. I don't feel like that's going to be the direction either one of their career is going to be heading after. No. After
but you know, I can appreciate good choreography, which is but like I don't know the it worked for me for what it was.
No, I mean, like I said, I didn't think it was bad. I'm just saying. Wow, there's really nobody else out there you could have gotten who
when you see somebody like Gene Kelly or Fred Astaire do what they do, it is absolutely fucking breathtaking. Yeah. And there was no dance number in this that managed to do that, even though they did some good stuff.
When you see Singing in the Rain for the first time, and you go, it's like watching a Jackie Chan movie for the first time. When you're like, how in the fuck does he even do that?
Oh, yeah.
It's stunning. Analogy, this movie never has a moment like that where you're like, I could do those dance numbers. And I'd be out of breath, but I could do them.
They're serviceable.
Exactly. They're beautifully choreographed, but they're like... But a lot of that has to do with the cinematography and the, sort of the background settings.
I know you all disagree.
Well, no, I was going to say you guys can blame that Trolls movie because that's what Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick are doing right now.
Instead. I'm sure Anna Kendrick would have actually been great in this.
I'm really, really surprised she did not like this role. I'm sure it was offered to her.
Well, she did another musical recently, didn't she? That nobody really saw. And so,
Richard was telling me it's almost an identical plot. It's on Netflix right now. It came out like earlier this year or late last year.
What was it called?
The last five years.
That he was saying it's really good. He's saying it's not as good as this.
I thought you were talking about Into the Woods, and I was like, really?
But anyway, I still thoroughly enjoy this. I thought it was really smart. I love the way it's definitely to some degree about duality, but in almost a subtext sort of way. It's like old versus new, expectations versus reality. You know, love versus this'll do. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 realistic expectations. Which you should have going into this movie after a review and know that your realistic expectation is to come out with your toes a-tapping and your heart a-thumping and looking at your girlfriend and going, yeah, you're all right.